Hey, happy Sunday, and welcome to On the Weekend Edition. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and again, I will be here with you for the full hour, as I am every Sunday morning. And listen, I appreciate you being here with me for those that are here regularly and tuning in every Sunday. And for those who are just stopping by for the first time, welcome, and please come back again next week, because I've always got something here good for you. So listen, a couple of months ago, it was still pretty warm outside. I was sitting across from a wig shop, which is right around the corner from the radio station. I was sitting there and I was waiting for someone to come out, and I noticed that a lot of our women were going into the wig shops, and they would pull up in these really nice cars. It had these really nice bags, their hands and feet look well manicured, and they go in and they purchase this pretty expensive hair, I would assume. But the running theme I noticed was most of them, I would say 8 out of 10, because I did count, were very heavy and just did not look healthy. So the question for me was, with black women doing as well as they are with their education, and they're doing amazing things, black women are climbing the corporate ladder faster than any other demographic in the country. You're getting that bag, you're buying those cars, you're buying up houses at a historic level for black women. So the question is with all of these positive things going on, is the one most important thing being neglected with black women as a race? I don't know, but it seemed, based on what I saw, that could be a phenomenon that's worth talking about, because as a black man, we want you guys around for the long haul. You know what I mean? That's the most important thing for us. So who could I ask? Well, fortunately, I have someone who is a guru, Dr. Yolanda Ragland, who's been dealing with this situation for many, many years. She's written books. She's given speeches and seminars. She's had workshops. She's double board certified. She is everything that you want to be and need to be in order to be qualified to talk about this. She is truly an expert. And as my friend, she has agreed to come on here and rescue me in this situation and help me navigate my way through this question, because it is a very sensitive and touchy subject. I mean, the last thing any man wants to be caught doing or being accused of doing is body shaming anyone. And that is not what I'm doing. This is truly a health question. I think it is something that we definitely need to speak about. And so I got an expert. So hopefully people will sit down and they will listen. We will all learn some things, and it will be a helpful and healthy conversation. I've also got the Petty here, of course. He's going to do what he always does, and that is give us his expert picks for today's games upcoming in the NFL, and for Monday and for Thursday. And I'm going to start off by doing what I like to do most, and that is giving you the news from the past week and current events. So I hope you're feeling great, because I'm feeling great. Let's get right to it.
Please welcome your next governor.
That is correct, and I gotta tell you, I am ecstatic as we welcome in the very first black governor in the history of the state of Maryland, Wes Moore. I was there Tuesday night at the Wes Moore results party, where they announced that he was now the new governor-elect. And you know, although I was a part of the press pit, when I walked in, I got an opportunity to see the people in line waiting to go to the ballroom to hear the results of the election. And passing this line, I instantly got the exact same feeling and pride as I did in 2008 when Obama ran for the first time, and I got to take my son for his first voting opportunity. We cast our vote, and in the line, just seeing the pride in people, in particular black people, it was something that I'd never experienced. I got the exact same feeling when I went to see Black Panther for the first time, with all of us that had come out. And although we had not seen the movie yet, there was this anticipatory pride that we felt amongst each other. It was the exact same feeling Tuesday night, and it did not disappoint. When it was announced that he had in fact defeated Dan Cox and was now the new governor of Maryland, the place erupted. It went crazy. We weren't really expecting it to be announced as early as it was. I mean, it was announced before 9 p.m. So it was a shock to everyone, a surprise, but a beautiful surprise. And he came on with his family on stage, with his mom, his wife, his two children, son and daughter. They're a beautiful family. I truly believe that he has Maryland and Baltimore's best interest at heart. He talks about it as if he does. He has all of the weapons. He has all of the intelligence. And I just feel like he's motivated to make Maryland and Baltimore in particular a better place. So as amazing as Tuesday night was, Thursday, our mayor Brandon Scott got together with the collaborative, and they've come up with a plan, a couple of plans for the squeegee kids in that situation. And you know, residents are mixed. I mean, I'm mixed up about it. I don't know exactly how I feel about it. He's going to remove some of these squeegee kids from high trafficked areas in the city, including President Street and Jones Falls Expressway, Conway and Light Streets, Mount Royal Avenue and North Avenue, Martin Luther King Jr. And Interstate 395, Wabash Avenue and Northern Parkway, and Sinclair Lane and Moravia Road. Now, removing the squeegee kids from that area, have motorists saying different things.
Grateful. I'm concerned about their safety as well as the safety of others.
I admire their hustle, but I think it's a beautiful thing because they damaged my truck before.
All we're doing is taking a problem and moving it to a different intersection.
So yeah, there's a mixed bag. Most motorists feel that though something is being done finally, it's not enough. The mayor has also said that they are going to start an apprenticeship program for those squeegeeing kids who are dedicated to not squeegeeing but want to enter this program, saying that it's going to be funded by the city. The problem is nobody knows where in the budget there is money for this program, and Governor Larry Hogan has already said he wants nothing to do with it at all. Like, there's no money coming from the state. And as far as enforcing the laws that are on the books right now for squeegeeing kids who are not going to be allowed to squeegee in these no squeegeeing zones, the police commissioner has already said that they don't have a specific plan. He says that right now what they're thinking to do is issue two warnings first and then a citation, but nobody knows what penalty that citation is going to be. So 4 months later, there's still a whole lot up in the air and not a lot making sense. And as one of the squeegee boys told me, squeegeeing kept him out of trouble. He used to be a stick-up kid, and that's not something he wants to go back to, but where else is he going to get his money from? So yeah, it looks like we've taken something away from these kids, which I believe had to be done, but we didn't replace it with anything. And that, too, is a recipe for disaster. You know, people have to remember that necessity is the mother of invention. And these kids didn't start squeegeeing because they liked to squeegee. They did it because they needed the money. And when you take that ability to make money away from them, they're going to go back to doing what they were doing originally that was also not safe for residents in the city. And that was knocking people over the head. And so the frustrating part for me and a lot of residents and business owners in the city is that the mayor had 4 months and this was the best that he could come up with. So, as I mentioned, I'm fortunate enough to have my friend Dr. Yolanda Raglan here this morning to help me get myself out of the mess in which I've gotten myself into in mentioning black women's health. Now, again, I don't know if this is a trend or a phenomenon at all. Maybe I'm just not minding my business, or maybe there is something going on in reference to black women's health that we need to pay attention to. And if it is, she is the perfect person, as I mentioned, to help us figure this out. So without further ado, let's give Dr. Yolanda Raglan a very warm 1500 radio welcome. All right, Dr. Yolanda Lewis Raglan, I guess I've been corrected. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I appreciate your time. You know, I was telling my listeners earlier in the show that the reason why this came about is because I was sitting in front of a wig shop during the summer outside of the radio station waiting for one of my colleagues to come out. And what I noticed is that a lot of the women that were going in the shops, black women, were pulling up in very nice cars, had very nice handbags. It was the summer, and their hands and their feet looked really nice. But a lot of them appeared to be, and I hate to say it, but overweight, like heavy. And I just thought, you know, are our priorities in the right place? Not just for women, black women, but for black men as well. I go up and down in my weight too. But I just, is this a phenomenon? Is this a thing that you've noticed? But first, I want to know how you got started, because I've known you for several years, and you've always been involved and the weight management of women in the black community. And so how did you get started? What are your credentials? What do you do? How do you do it?
So first of all, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I appreciate the question and the conversation. And I do think there are a lot of nuances to what you're, hinting to or referring to as sort of this, the dichotomy of where our priorities lie. And so I would love to get into that. But my name is, Dr. Yolanda Lewis Raglan. I'm a double board certified physician in both pediatrics and obesity medicine. Generally, I say pediatrician and bariatrician, but most people don't understand that bariatrics is just the medical management of weight loss. It's not, the surgical side of it. And I am, besides a community physician working at Children's National Hospital in general peds and obesity for children, I'm also the owner and CEO of my own practice, Family Fitness and Community Wellness. Okay. And the reason I started really getting into obesity medicine really started off as a pediatrician. I was seeing patients on a, daily basis, monthly, yearly. And I just watched as the kids that I was seeing were getting bigger and bigger. And I don't mean taller, which is what we expect as a pediatrician. That comes with the job. But what I noticed is they were getting bigger, larger, they were outpacing their weight was outpacing their height growth.
Right. Right.
And so they've been becoming obese because the whole idea and concept of obesity is, you know, BMI is how much weight you are carrying on your frame. So your frame itself is going to be a fixed number, how tall you are, but how much weight you gain is obviously not fixed. And you can gain more or lose more. So these kids were becoming bigger and bigger. And I was starting to battle obesity, and along with obesity, a lot of the medical conditions like diabetes, hypertension, fatty liver disease, asthma is worse when you're obese. And so I thought, this is really, you know, depressing. What do I do about it? And I began to recognize that in order for me to really make a difference, I was going to have to also be able to treat the parent, which meant I needed to do adult medicine, adult obesity medicine.
Okay.
And then as a woman, what I recognized is, as medical director at a very popular weight loss clinic, that was owned by a male physician, and a lot of the treatments and a lot of the recommendations were not based around diet. It was really based around exercise and sort of these really quick fixes.
Right.
And what I noticed is that women were not responding to the treatments as well as the men who would come in. And I know, and I knew personally, it was because we have to really understand the basis for what is happening with us in terms of weight gain, as well as in a large part, our metabolism and our hormones are actually come into play. So what was not being addressed for women was actually detrimental. They weren't really getting the results that they deserved to get. And so I began to have to, you know, I was struggling with this particular owner of the facility because he didn't want to change what was being done. He didn't want to really address the root causes for women. And so we had to, you know, we split ways, but I kind of, from there, just turned this into my own practice, and a lot of it is concierge, but I do a lot on nutrition, supplements, metabolism, balancing hormones, mm-hmm. and a lot of that has to do with stress and stress management. So a lot of what we're talking about really is an area that we don't address in weight gain and weight loss, and that is how we're managing stress. And the truth of the fact is that Black women, we really do carry a lot more stress for a lot of different varying reasons, and we don't address it, and we don't recognize that by not addressing it, it really is hindering us from losing weight or maintaining our weight.
And that's one of the questions that I had for you, and that was, what was one of the main factors, or some of the main factors, that you see in most Black women that keep them from, you know, balancing their nutrition or having a healthy diet? And you say it's a lot of it is stress related.
Mm-hmm. It is. So heart disease, you know, there's so much to this. This conversation could probably go on a lot longer than 30 minutes, but I'll try to keep it brief. So when we talk about these cycles that we run in, this fight or flight, and we're producing certain hormones because, first of all, our hormones are changing just because our age, you know, as we increase in age. So certain hormones are decreasing. You know, we talk about estrogen and progesterone, and I don't want to get really specific, but our hormones are changing rapidly. And it starts around age 35 that we start. So a lot of women notice that they were able to eat a certain way and do certain things and sort of quick fixes, and it worked for them up until a certain age. And then they start realizing that after 30, after 35, maybe after 40. In fact, when I first started my practice, I have a blog, and my blog is, it's called Body.40, and it was because right around 40 is when I noticed that women started to struggle the most, and it really has to do with the difference in your hormones.
Right.
But on top of those hormones that are changing just because of age, a lot of our stresses come age-related as well, with motherhood, you know, working certain jobs, two jobs, three jobs, being a CEO, being a boss. You know, a lot of these women you're talking about, they're running the show. They're running everything for everybody. And honestly, a lot of the pressure is on them. And it's not just on them to perform. It's also on them to look good while they perform.
Right.
It's an added
right.
pressure that we put on ourselves.
It's a lot.
And this cortisol that we're constantly pushing out and producing because we are so stressed because, you know, we got to work harder. We got to be better. We got to do it faster. All of these things that we put on ourselves. And it's not just self-imposed. The society imposes it on us as well. But we're carrying so much of these loads, even professionally, that it's actually wreaking havoc in our internal systems. And so it's affecting our heart. It's affecting our liver. So when it's affecting your liver, you're not digesting or processing fats the way you should if you were actually doing it in a healthy way. So we have a lot of sludge in our liver and we're not able to process certain Wow. foods and certain fats. The hormones are also affecting how we digest our foods. There are three areas that are affected specifically. It's the brain, it's the stomach, and it's the liver. So we're not digesting our food very well. And so actually that's causing and prolonging obesity. We're not processing fats very well. It's also producing and prolonging obesity. And then when I talk about the brain, we actually have certain hormones that tell us we're hungry versus satisfied, and they're triggered by fight or flight. So someone who's in fight mode is not able to really digest their food. They're not supposed to, you know, that,
right.
So, you know, historically, when you're in fight mode, you should be running and getting out of there. But that's not what's happening. We're fighting all the time. And I say fighting, it's a metaphorical fight, but we're, you know, fighting against, you know, the clock at work. There's this project that's due. You know, we got children that we're managing, and many women are single moms. And I'm not saying all Black women are single moms. I'm saying many women, and it's not just Black women, many women are single moms or head of their household or making the money in their households, and they're carrying the weight. There's just a lot happening. So we got professional, we got personal. And then we have societal, that a lot of the pressures and things that we're facing. And so you're constantly in this fight, and but you're still eating. You're still sitting down at that desk trying to get through this particular project. So you're doing all the wrong things. You're drinking coffee. You're grabbing a donut because you don't have time. You're grabbing fast food because you don't have time. You're on your way home. You got to do X, Y, and Z. So you're grabbing fast food to take to even your family because you don't have time. We're constantly right. fighting the clock. This is really where most of the problems are. When we talk about how we're not processing our foods and how we're gaining weight and unable to actually break down fats and lose weight. And so a lot of times we want to look at where people are putting their attention on, you know, what they're buying and how they look in their cars or driving. But at the same time, the stresses that you have to maintain all of those things are really affecting how you process your daily meal.
Well, that's the question that I have. And that's the question that I have. How do we shift the mindset? I mean, I know you do a lot of speaking. You do seminars and workshops and you've written books. But how do you shift the mindset so that it's – and granted, education is incredibly important, and Black women have done an amazing job in raising the bar as far as the education level within that community and within our community. But it sounds like they're sacrificing so much of their health to mm-hmm. get to that point. So how do we shift the mindset so there's a balance? Now, I see a lot of boot camps that have started, and I see a lot of Black women in the gym that didn't used to be there, but I rarely hear about nutrition. I hear about the fasting, and I hear about the working out. And like you said, those are quick fixes, but I rarely hear about nutritional values like balanced mm-hmm. diets and how to eat on the run. I mean, how do you shift that mindset?
Well, first of all, I think we're slowly shifting the mindset in just this self-care. I guess we're calling it, I don't know what it is. I guess it's a new phenomena. It's a new, you know, we're sort of bringing it in and recognizing how important it is, because for a long time it wasn't. You talk about you use the word sacrifice, and that's a very appropriate word. Often we just do. And it's almost biological. I've had this conversation on several levels. Men and women are very different biologically. I'm not here to talk about gender or, you know, who's binary and non-binary. And, you know, there's that's one right. thing. But in society, our roles have been traditionally very different, wherein and biologically, when we conceive, the moment of conception, there's this natural process of we go into this protection mode, right? We're growing a fetus. Our body physiologically changes to protect this and grow this fetus and blah, blah, blah. And so you have this baby and then you feel very obligated and naturally so to make sure this baby is taken care of and grows and does it. You're feeding it from your body and, you know, if you're breastfeeding and things like that. So this is this natural connection, this natural process, this natural need and feel of like obligatory, you know, doing for this child. Mm-hmm. But it really goes further than that. A lot of times women just sacrifice themselves, whether they mean to or not. Men are very easily, you know, siloed. It's very easy to take this project and do this for my family and do this for my job. And they're not really interconnected. There's a book I love, you know, about men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And it talks about this whole idea that spaghetti and meatballs, like we women connect everything almost to the detriment of ourselves. And men are literally like, what? This one thing is not connected to another. And you'll understand when you hear us argue about something,
right,
how
right.
we think everything is connected.
Right.
And men are like, no, those are separate things. So it's very easy for men often to see their health, themselves separately, right? Like, I got to take care of my health. I got to take care of my family and I have to take care of my job and my business. But those are separate things. Women tend not to do that. And so the mind shift is about really understanding that you're a separate person. It's very difficult to recognize that because of that whole, you know, like I said, the umbilical cord, the placenta, we feel connected to everything and we're not over emotional. I'm not saying that, but we're very intuitive and all these things, but we have to start recognizing where self ends and where self begins and where our obligation to ourselves is as important, if not more important, than our obligations to our families and to our businesses and to our communities. I used the metaphor all the time of getting on a plane and the pilot says, look, if something happens and oxygen masks go down, put yours on first and then put others on. And our natural idea as women would be to take care of everybody while we're trying to get oxygen on our own. But, you know, let's make sure everyone else is taken care of. And the answer is no. You cannot help everybody else if you don't help yourself. So right now the shift is self-care, understanding that if you are not well, if you fall ill tomorrow, no one's going to be able to take care of your family the way you do anyway. So you need to step back and decide what's the most important. Another thing that's really that I've decided was very important to me a long time ago, I think I was in my 30s when I decided this, was that for my daughters to see themselves as important and to understand their value, they needed to see a mom who modeled self-care, who modeled and prioritize exercise, who model and prioritize nutrition so that they realize how important it was for them. So it wasn't about me prioritizing their nutrition only. I was very clear that there are things that I might buy that they could eat because they were young. But if I bought certain things that were foods for me, I was very clear about that. Look, this is mommy's and this is yours. A lot of times we don't say, this is who I am. I need to get this exercise in. I'm going to be gone. I used to do Bikram yoga, hot yoga. It was a 90-minute yoga class.
Right.
And when I first started, it was very difficult because in that 90 minutes, I thought of all the stuff I should be doing as a mom, you know, they might be calling me at the hospital. And I had to learn how to take that 90 minutes to myself a day. Now I can take 2 or 3 hours a day for myself doing whatever. I meditate, I exercise, you know, I'm doing the things that are for me, but it's very difficult to do. That's also privilege. Let's be clear.
Right.
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 Everybody doesn't have the privilege to take that kind of time out for themselves. And so that's where a lot of the disparities come in.
When yeah, because,
you are
You walk like 1,000 miles a week too, don't you? I mean, you do a lot of walking, don't you?
I wouldn't say 1,000, but I have walked upwards of 500 miles in a month, and that was a challenge for myself. But for me, it's 5 to 10 miles a day, no matter what I'm doing, whether I jump on a Peloton, whether I jump on a treadmill, whether I go out on my own, like outside, depending on the weather. But again, I recognize that as privilege. But right. What I will tell people is you have to take the privilege. Don't allow your circumstances, your job, your family, any other thing to encroach on that privilege, because everyone has the privilege. The question is, do you take the privilege, right? Because if you're not here tomorrow, what will it matter? If your health is that Steve Jobs would have given every cent he had if he figured out a way to stay healthy.
Correct.
And so if we do more prevention than reaction, because medicine, unfortunately, is very reactive, which is why I got into integrative medicine. I told you about the meditation, and nutrition, and all that stuff. It's integrative medicine because I'm more interested in preventive measures. So nutrition, for instance, we say medicine, you know, and there's an old saying that food is the first medicine. And it's true. There are lots of herbs and lots of foods that we can actually take and use to improve health. Let's say you are someone who has glucose issues like diabetes. People don't recognize or know that cinnamon lowers your resistance to insulin. It actually helps you in your if you're someone who needs to deal with diabetes and things like that. Cinnamon is very helpful. Okay. Cayenne pepper, it helps increase your metabolism. So if you're dealing with a sluggish metabolism, you know, there are certain foods and certain things that you should add to your food that would help increase your metabolism. Turmeric, it helps decrease inflammation. A lot of us have inflammation. Even the vessels in our stomach are inflamed. Sugar is inflammatory. Let me say that part again. We are eating so much sugar and it's to our detriment. Sugar is inflammatory, and when it inflames even the vessels of the stomach, it makes it difficult for you to digest food. Okay. So I'm going to say this loud and clear. All of those folks out there that are taking their vitamins through gummies, the gummies are filled with a lot of sugar. So you're really defeating the process, not absorbing the very nutrients, the vitamin A or C or D, whatever it is you think you're absorbing. It makes it more difficult to absorb because you're taking it with sugar.
So no gummies.
I don't recommend gummies. I don't want no gummy companies coming after me, but I don't recommend gummies. But there's just a lot of ways, right? Water itself. Let's start with just water. Water itself is one of the ways it helps satiate you, meaning it makes you feel full. A lot of studies have been done that show that a lot of people think they're hungry when they're really thirsty.
Okay.
And we are thirsty even at a cellular level. One of the reasons I've gotten into IV hydration drips is because many people don't recognize how dehydrated they are. And the more the more dehydrated you are, the more your body craves and wants the fluids. But we often, any craving we have, we assume it's a food craving. And the most convenient food that we have at our disposal, most of us, are sugar or some kind of a processed carb. So we'll just grab, you know, a bar, a cookie, whatever, I don't know.
Right.
Whatever, donut, I don't know, bagel. We'll grab these things and we don't realize that they're actually causing inflammation in our bodies. And we're actually not as hungry as we are thirsty. So if you would just start with adding a gallon of water, if you're not fluid restricted, I don't want anybody walking around saying, well, Dr. Yolanda said, I'm supposed to drink a gallon of water. Make sure you're talking to your doctor, because if you have any fluid restrictions, then that's not for you. But for the most part, a healthy adult, if you're drinking a gallon of water a day, you're actually just starting right there with flushing your system, detoxifying your system, especially if you make that water alkaline water. And then you should begin to have less cravings, less foods that you're eating that are actually not good for you. Increasing your protein, very important. Eating mostly vegetables. You can eat some fruits, but looking at taking processed foods out of your diet. There's so many steps. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote the book that I wrote, which is Dr. Yolanda's Soul Food Therapy, is soul stands for savory, organic, unprocessed living foods. I wrote that book to give very specific instructions about how to eat. And the actual table of contents spells out the word discipline, because it really boils down to discipline.
And what's the name of the book again? I'm sorry.
It's Dr. Yolanda's Soul Food Therapy.
Is that on Amazon or where?
On Amazon. It's on Amazon. Again, my blog is body.pro.com. So if anybody, I change it from 40 to pro. So body.pro.com, you can do my blog and I can get it to you, or just Amazon is easy. There's several books on Amazon. So that's one that's nutrition, because I have some others that aren't nutrition that are about the pandemic. But the point of the book was really to be very specific about, a lot of times people say, oh, just eat less, or just eat more of this, or eat less of this, or add this to your diet, but they're not being specific. And so people really need very specific things. So I talk about how much protein, you know, how much water, how to eliminate or decrease the sugar in your diet, vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. We have cravings. Our bodies have cravings. We think it's sugar. We always assume.
Or salt.
Sugar. Or salt. Yep,
you know,
yep, or salt.
I mean, I've eliminated most salt from my diet. But I got to ask you, what do you think are protein bars? Because they're all over the place, and people are supplementing food with protein bars on the go. Are there specific protein bars that you recommend, or those that you don't? Because you just said, you know, we want to add protein to our diet. Are they a fake? Is it legit?
So they're very. This is such a controversial industry. Is the vitamin industry, because they're not all vitamins are not created equal. Some things have more bioavailability. Like some vitamins and things that you're taking and eating, even with these supplements and these protein bars. It'll say like plant protein or animal protein versus, right? So if you're vegan, you realize that you have to do that, but you need more of it than you do animal protein, because we process it differently. So what I can't say is there's one I endorse, but I will say this. Looking for protein bars that are very low in added sugar. When I say high in protein, I mean 20 grams or more, generally 25 to 30 grams. If you're supplementing it for a meal, it needs to be at least 25 to 30 grams of protein if you're doing it as a meal.
Okay.
You want as little sugar as possible. Mm-hmm. And then you really got to start looking. The problem is a lot of this stuff becomes really processed. So if you can't pronounce half of the words that they're, you know, putting in the ingredients, then it's probably not going to be best for you. Yeah, you know, that's just a general rule. And then, you know, there are some preservatives and things that are actually bad for you. And so some of these companies are using those preservatives that are actually not great for you, right? Some of the colors and dyes that are not great for you. So it makes it a very difficult, and the FDA does not really regulate this space very well. So, you know, you could, it's just not an easy topic,
right?
But protein bars can be used very efficiently as a means for substituting for a meal. But a small meal isn't that difficult to have, right? The problem is, what is your concept? What is your definition of a meal? Everyone, you know, I ask these questions, and I've seen thousands and thousands of patients. So I ask the question often, and I usually get, you know, a meat, a vegetable, and a starch. That's actually not the definition of a meal. Traditionally, culturally, that's what we've come to know as a meal.
Right.
But it's really a protein, a fat, and a sugar. That's a meal. That's what consists of an actual food. That's a meal that has that's not just a snack. Because if you're only eating sugar, it's a snack. If you're only eating, you know, so if you add the three, it's a meal. But what can that be? Typical for me, for instance, if I'm doing a quick small meal, you can cut avocado in half, take the pit out, use the avocado. And this is convenient and quick. Use the avocado itself as your bowl, and you can put like scramble some eggs with some vegetables and put that in there. You have your protein, you have your fat, and you have your vegetables right there. Or sometimes I'll do an avocado, and I might put some tuna in there. I might cut open a cucumber and then core out the middle, you know, take a little bit of it out, and I can put tuna on top of that, and I'm eating that. So now it's my vegetable, because I made the tuna usually with some Italian dressing or some kind, or maybe sometimes I don't use dressing at all. I mash up avocado, I mix it as the base with the tuna, and I put that on top of a cucumber. There's your protein, your fat, and your vegetable. So there's so many things that you can do. You can use peppers, cut a pepper in half and use the pepper itself, because this is the convenient stuff. Everyone says it's not convenient, it's not quick enough, I got to be at work, I got to be at my desk. These are things that I'm eating while I'm charting. I've cut open a pepper, I've stuffed the pepper with something like, I don't know, it could be tuna, it could be scrambled eggs, it could be avocado. It could be, there's a lot of other things in my mind, and I think of all of them, but I can stuff things in there, and I'll eat the half pepper that's stuffed, and that's my meal. And that's also portion controlled. We're overeating.
That was the other question I wanted to ask, was about portioning. Because I see, and I'm just being honest with you, and this is a very touchy subject, so I got to watch myself here. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But I see women, they go to the boot camps, they go to the gym early in the morning, and then they'll have, but it's like early Saturday morning, and then they don't go the rest of the week. It's just like every Saturday, or they'll go twice a week. And then on Sunday, they go to the brunch, to the buffet, and eat whatever they want, right? So the question is the portioning. Do you have any recommendations for meal prep? Is that something, because you're on the go all the time, right? I don't know where you're finding the time to do all the things you're talking about here. So do you meal prep, or is it just something that you've just learned how to do on the fly?
No, it's meal prepping. So I said that my book's table of contents spells out the word discipline. So right. The D is detoxification. The first I is you're impounding impostors, meaning you're taking you're taking processed foods from your diet. S is setting yourself for success. So understanding, like getting a meal plan, you know, and the C is consistency. I talk about meal prepping. How do you stay consistent? You stay consistent by meal prepping. So meal prepping for me is on a weekend. So, today, my typical Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to grab a bunch of vegetables. I'm going to grab a couple of proteins. I like some salmon. I'll get some shrimp. I make like a whole thing of shrimp. I'll do a whole bag. So here's the deal. I don't make things as I go along.
Okay.
I make the whole bag and then I portion it out.
There you go.
So when I come home or at lunchtime, I've already made a bunch of shrimp. I just put them in snack bags. Now, I'm very big on prepping. I might not be the most environmentally friendly person because I put a lot of stuff in like snack bags and, little containers, but I'll get a salad and I have shrimp already in my snack bag, and I know what I weigh it. I just do. It's when it comes to your proteins, it's 4 to 6 ounces for a meal, 2 to 3 meals in a day, 4 to 6 ounces. I weigh everything. I have a scale that just stays on my kitchen counter. I weigh my vegetables, or I measure it. Usually for vegetables, it's 1 to 2 cups. And then when it comes to the protein, it's 4 to 6 ounces. So I'll weigh it and then I'll put it away, so that when I need something, I'm just grabbing it. I'm not trying to figure it out. And I'm not doing it while I'm hungry, because if I do it while I'm hungry, I'm going to overeat.
Okay.
Because I'm human just like everyone else. So if I don't do it ahead of time, then if it just looks good, if I'm only eating it based on how it looks, then it's going to be more than 4 to 6 ounces.
Right.
But what I do know about the brain and how hormones work and how enzymes work is that you'll eat food and it takes 15 to 20 minutes before your brain gets the message that it's full or satisfied. Hmm. It's usually in that 15 to 20 minutes that most people overeat. So when you go to brunch,
wow,
the problem is you're sitting there and you're overeating. And when you get to the point where you actually feel it in your brain, that's the moment you feel so stuffed that you now need to unbutton your pants.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It takes 15 to 20 minutes. So here's the deal. So as a parent, I used to say this to my patients all the time when I was dealing with childhood obesity. I would tell parents here, and I did it to my own kids. None of my kids are dealing, have ever dealt with weight issues, but it's the stuff that I implemented as a parent that I knew. So I would tell my kids dinner, and then dinner was over, and they would almost always want, so, you know, first of all, as a parent, as a mom, I feel good because they really like my food so much that they want more of it, but I wouldn't give them more. And I wasn't cool about it, but if they wanted some more mac and cheese or some more, you know, I don't know, baked salmon, whatever they wanted more of, I would say, well, give it a minute. Why don't you do this? Go run your bath water. Go get your clothes ready for school. Go grab your homework so we can go over it. I would give them a task to go do. They did not know that what I was doing was giving them that 15 minutes to let them feel the food, the effect of the food. By the time they would come back or get they're ready for their bath, or that, I would wait for them to ask for the food again. So if they asked me for more after that 15 minutes, I would say, okay, but I would only give them more of the vegetables. That was the other thing. If we had, with whatever we had, you could only get more. And they already knew that was the rule. You wanted seconds of something, the only seconds you could get was vegetables. So either you really, really wanted seconds, or you just were like, never mind, I'll get some tomorrow.
Right.
But they would come back. I mean, I'd wait 15 minutes. 9 out of 10 times they forgot they'd asked for more of the whatever the thing they wanted.
That's crazy.
And it was because I allowed them to feel it. Well, as an adult, you have to give yourself that timeout, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So although I could do that to kids, for myself, that's what I did. Now, what that means to me is Thanksgiving and different meals that they don't count. But putting food in front of you and serving it from the table is never a good idea. It's always best to have the food in the kitchen, leave it where it is, plate your food, and then sit down and eat. Because it's very easy in a social setting to finish what's on your plate, be in the middle of a conversation, and just reach over, grab a spoon, and put more on your plate.
Right.
The energy it takes to stop that conversation, get up, and go get it from the other room, it might deter you. You may not actually need to just go up and get it, but if it's right there in front of you,
you're going to do it. You're going to more likely eat it.
It's less of a deterrent. So I'm in the habit of putting as many deterrents as I could possibly put in place. So one other thing that I do is, if I finish cooking something and I'm ready to plate stuff up, I put it away immediately. Put it in whatever needs to be, put it in a refrigerator. Because that means that if you really want some more, you got to take it back out. You got to warm it up. You know what? Never mind. I'll get some tomorrow. That's always another reason. And like I said, another thing I do if I go out to restaurants, I immediately order food and I ask for a box to go. Because what I know is they're going to serve me more than I'm typically going to eat. And I know what I typically eat because I weigh everything. So I've gotten used to eyeballing things, you know,
you got to
get into the habit first. But once I'm in the habit, I already realize they're giving me 2 to 3 times more than I'm going to eat. So as soon as they bring me my meal, I ask for a box. I put the stuff in the box that I'm not going to eat. I eat what's on my plate, and then I can sit there and socialize and talk to everybody, and they can keep doing what they're doing, and they can overeat, and that's fine. But my box is already ready to go.
Right.
Now, when I get home a few hours later, I may go ahead and eat some of what's in the box. But half the time, what's the problem is we've eaten enough for 2 or 3 meals in one setting.
Hmm. Okay.
And we can't overeat because it's like your gas tank only takes whatever.
Right.
20 gallons, 15 gallons. There is no overfilling a gas tank. It just doesn't happen. It spills out. There's nothing you can. But the problem with humans is we can't overeat. And what happens if our bodies overeat, all we have, the only process we have for managing the excess is we store excess calories as fat, period. End of story. That's all we have. So you eat a certain amount. That's what your body needs. Whatever you eat above what your body needs automatically gets flagged for storage, period.
Wow.
And the problem is we're constantly storing more calories than we're using. And then we don't use the calories because we're not, you can't exercise enough. I say this all the time. You cannot out-exercise a bad diet. You cannot exercise enough to get, because you have to eat every day.
Right.
So what you overate the day before, you might try to exercise in the morning, whatever, and then you're going to overeat again. That, so if you're constantly overeating, you're behind the eight ball. And that's why exercise can be so frustrating for any and everybody, but especially for women, because they don't see the results that they think that they should see because they're not managing the nutrition along with that exercise.
Wow. Well, listen, time has flown by. And the nuggets that you have dropped are, I mean, they're priceless. I appreciate you. Just let our listeners know where they can find you, what you've put out that they can read, and how they can get it, because it's incredibly important stuff. We want not just our black women, we want black men to be around forever, forever as well. So if you can help us out and let us know where we can find you, where we can hear you or see you, that'd be appreciative.
Not a problem. And I want to reiterate that to our black men. We definitely need you all. We need you around. We need you to model this behavior along with us, because it's extremely important that our kids are growing up with both parents. So that's a really important topic for me. So I am, my website is Dr. Yolanda MD, and MD is medical doctor. Just understanding that everybody out here that calls themselves doctors are not MDs.
Right.
So that is my website. I'm on Facebook as it's Yolanda Lewis Ragland, but I'm on Instagram as Dr. Yolanda MD. The books are on Amazon. But you can connect with me through Instagram, through, you know, Facebook, Twitter, any of those spaces. And if you're interested in a book, you can get it. And then the blog, again, is body.pro.com. And there's information on there about food, about exercise. I do retreats for women, you know, these burnout, professional burnout. They really address exactly what we're talking about, which is how to manage the stress as well as the exercise and the nutrition. So, you know, again, thank you for having me. I appreciate the questions. And again, just as much as people can do, manage your stress. If that's walking, if that's meditating, if that is yoga, whatever that looks like for you, breathing throughout the day,
right.
You really have to manage your stress, because the exercise and the nutrition sometimes won't matter if you're not adding that stress management layer to it.
Well, we've got it all, and I have absorbed it. I will process it. I will talk about it more often, and thank you so much for helping me get out of this sticky situation, because it's touchy. It's a very touchy subject, and I really appreciate you being clinical with me today and coming on and taking the time to talk to me, and we will be talking to you again. You are now an official member of 1500 Radio, and we'll be reaching out to you again, so thank you so much, Yolanda. I appreciate you.
All right. No problem. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That's right. That's the music, which can only mean one thing. It is time for the Petty. Let's give him a call and see what he's got for us this weekend in the way of NFL picks.
Brother B, good morning.
It is the Petty. The Petty has awakened. What's going on, big guy? How you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. Well, I'm doing okay. Last week was not a good week for me. I still came out on top, but it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I was upset, looking for my upset special. I was the one that got upset. But
nobody did well last week. Nobody did well last week.
There was a lot of things going on, and I think right now we're starting to separate the men from the boys in the NFL.
Right.
But let me tell you something real quick, because we got a game going on right now. Seattle and Tampa over in Germany this morning.
Is it Tampa or the Cardinals?
No, it's Tampa. It's those Buccaneers against those sea chickens from Seattle, the Seahawks. And real quick, I like Seattle in that game. Tampa just does not look good to me. Geno Smith has got to be the comeback player of the year.
See?
He's just turning heads, and he's just surprising everybody.
See? I got to pat myself on the back, because I called him.
Yeah, I'm going to pat you on the back, too, because I just didn't believe in Geno, but Geno's looking real good. So if you're looking at that game, or get ready to look at that game, because it did come on at 9:30, take Seattle over Tampa. I like that. I like Seattle. I like the Sea Chickens over the Buccaneers.
All right.
Unfortunately, I took a big hit on Thursday night, because Atlanta did not show up into Carolina, and that's just a team that I don't know about. Carolina's just surprising everybody. They, you know what? They're not going to the playoffs. They're not going to do anything. I do like P.J. Walker as their quarterback, and I think they're going to be the spoiler for a lot of teams this year.
Really?
But I do. I like PJ Walker. I remember him from the XFL and or the AAFL or wherever he came from. PJ Walker is a good fit for Carolina. I hope their brother stays on with the Panthers. But let's move right along and talk about these 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games and everything we have on the slate for week 10. And like I said, we're going to start separating the men from the boys.
All right.
So right off the bat, we got a nice bomb burn for you. We got Minnesota, those Norsemen, traveling up into New York to meet those Buffalo Bills. And there's a little something going on in Buffalo because we don't know if Josh Allen's going to play or not. From my understanding, he has a slight injury that may sideline him today. So, okay. I want to take Minnesota so bad. And I am not a Captain Kirk believer.
Oh, yes, you are.
Being said, nah,
yes, you are.
Nah,
I don't care what you say. You pick him too often. So, you know.
I like them at home, but on the road, they are very suspect. You saw that last week. They did pull that game out against the Commanders.
Right.
But
we gave them that game.
Yeah. Well, they're suspect on the road. So even if Josh Allen doesn't play, I still like Buffalo over Minnesota.
Okay.
Next, we have those pesky Lions that really surprised everyone last week by beating the Cheeseheads.
Right.
But they're playing another divisional rival this week, and we're talking about the Bears. Detroit travels to the Windy City, a short trip for them as they play Chicago. And I like what I'm seeing in Chicago. I really like Justin Fields. I like him. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future with that Bear team. And so with that being said, I'm going to take the Bears over Detroit.
All right.
Okay, we have those Denver Ponies traveling down to Tennessee to meet the Titans. And I'm just not a Denver fan. I'm not a Russell Wilson fan. And I'm really not a big Titans fan, but I like Tennessee at home over Denver. Next, we have Jacksonville going out to Kansas City. Kansas City is quietly putting things back together. And they may be the front runner in the AFC. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute when I say what I just said. But Kansas City's looking pretty good, and I like them over Jacksonville at home.
All right.
We had those crusty Browns going down to see the fish in Miami. That's an easy one for me. Just take the Dolphins.
Yeah, Tua's looking good.
We have the Houston Texans going to see the G-Men up in Jersey. I'm talking about the Giants. And, well, we're going to see if the Giants are for real. I think they may be in the NFC, so take the Giants over Houston. Maybe this team will start turning around. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers as they host the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints aren't what they used to be, unfortunately. Pittsburgh needs a big win here. They're at home. I like the Steelers over the Saints. And here's one for you. I don't understand what this is. I thought this would be a big game on the schedule. It's a laugher for me because Vegas, and I'm talking about those Raiders,
right.
I don't know what's going on with them. That I thought they would be better than what they are. They're at home, and they are probably hosting the laughing stock or the second team that's the laughing stock of the NFL, and we're talking about the Indianapolis Colts. Jeff Saturday as the coach? Come on. What is Jim Irsay doing out there in Indianapolis? Has he decided we're going to tank the rest of the season? Wow. Jeff Saturday? Man, is he drunk like his father used to be? When Robert Irsay used to own the Colts in Baltimore?
I know, right?
Is he like his father? Man. So, This week, definitely take Vegas over the Colts.
Okay. All right.
And then we have them boys from Dallas traveling to Green Bay to meet those cheeseheads to see the Packers. And the Packers were just sad last week.
The Packers have been sad for a few weeks.
Come on. 9 points, three interceptions in the red zone. Dude, what is Aaron Rodgers doing? Maybe it's time for him to hang it up.
Yep.
I don't know. Believe it or not, I like Dallas going into Green Bay and beating the Packers. And I am not a big Dallas fan, but this week, take them boys over the Cheeseheads.
Oh, definitely.
And finally, on the afternoon slate, we have those Redbirds from Arizona. I'm talking about the Cardinals going to see those L.A. Lambs. I'm sorry, L.A. Rams. I'm calling them Lambs because they look kind of soft. Even though they did give Tampa a good game last week, they're just not the same. So I'm looking for upset here. This is a divisional game. I'm looking for the Redbirds to go into L.A. and beating the Rams.
Okay.
And finally, round out today's game on the Sunday night game. Stage is set for those lightning bolts from LA. They'll still be, they will always be the San Diego Chargers to me, but now they're from LA and they go up north, up into Northern California to meet the guys from the Golden Gate City. I'm talking about those 49ers.
Lord, here we go.
Here we go. They got a lot of pieces coming back that were on the injured list. And you know what? Word has it that they may end up in the NFC Championship.
Not happening.
I don't know about that one, because I don't know if porn star Jimmy G is going to be the guy that everybody thinks he is. They're saying that they got it all together now. People are coming back. You know what? Let's take those guys from the Golden Gate City to beat the Lightning Bolts.
Not going
to
happen.
I'm talking about the 49ers will defeat the Chargers tonight. And tomorrow night, we got a big one. Well, it's not really a big one, but we're going to see if those Eagles, those pigeons from Philadelphia, can go 9-0. They're coming off of a bye. And here's another team that's in somewhat disarray, and I'm talking about those Washington Commanders. What's going on up in D.C.? You got the Attorney General talking about them. You got some stuff going on. They're trying to run the owner out of the team. They're trying to make him sell the team. They had some problems going on in D.C. with their team.
Big problems.
I think it's a big distraction.
Big problems.
I think the players are like, man, we don't know what's going on with our owner. If we have a real owner, we're going to get a new owner. And I really feel for Ron Rivera. I think he's a good coach. I really kind of like the Commanders. I don't like the name, but I like the Commanders. I like the coach. I like Taylor Heineke. But we're talking about them coming into Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's coming off a bye, and they're trying to go for the undefeated season. So let's say they're coming into the city of brotherly love. And I'm telling you right now, those Commanders will not get any brotherly love tomorrow night.
No, they're going to get destroyed tomorrow night. They're going to get destroyed tomorrow night. No doubt about it.
Well, I don't think they're going to get destroyed, because past history has shown that the Commanders play the Eagles pretty tough, be it in Washington or Philadelphia. That's not going to be the easy game that Philly thinks is going to be. It's going to be a close one. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I will take the Eagles to go 9-0 against the Commanders.
The only thing I think about when I see the Washington Commanders against the Philadelphia Eagles is when they were actually the Redskins and they played the Eagles on Monday night when Vic was the quarterback, and the very first play from scrimmage was a 90-yard strike from Vic to DeSean Jackson, and they destroyed the Redskins that night.
They did destroy him that night, and I was very, very happy, because at that time I was a fantasy football member, and I had Michael Vick and I had DeSean Jackson on my fantasy football team, and man, oh man, did they turn things around for me, because I was on the verge of losing, but that game put me over the top.
Yeah.
But right now we're talking something a little different, and over the past several years, outside of that game, they had played some tight games. And it was a tight game earlier this season when Philly came to Washington. So I'm kind of looking for that trend to continue, but I still like Philly over Washington.
Okay.
And for the Thursday night game that's coming up on November the 17th, you have the Titans traveling into Lambeau to meet those cheeseheads. This time, I'm going to take the cheeseheads, because after them boys beat them, Green Bay's going to have to win. They're going to have to win. And I think Thursday night will be the night that they, you know, do their thing and try to turn their season around.
You think their run defense can stop Henry?
No.
Exactly. I don't think it's going to happen, bro.
No, even Derrick Henry?
I mean, Derrick Henry, I'm sorry.
No, they're not going to stop Derrick Henry, but they're going to have to do something to win, because that game right there will mean everything for them. It would be the difference between them possibly making the playoffs and then possibly just saying, you know what, let's just throw in the towel for the season. And, you know, they got a lot of passionate fans out there in Green Bay, and I think that's going to be, you know, the night that they just kind of turn things around. So on Thursday evening, look for Green Bay to beat the Titans. Now, one thing I want to talk about, because this has been a buzz that's been going around the NFL, and we're talking about your Baltimore Ravens, who are on a bye this week.
Right.
but they are talking about them, and they look very impressive down in New Orleans last week. They are saying that they may be a team to reckon with in the next coming weeks, and they could possibly find themselves in the Super Bowl. I don't know about that. I do believe that they could be Buffalo. I do believe that they could give Kansas City a run. They are starting to look pretty good. And the buzz is that they better start watching out for the Ravens, because they're a team that could go all the way. I don't think so, but that's good news for you guys down in Baltimore. And I always say this, pay Lamar. That's all you got to do.
Well, we're going to pay him, and we don't expect anything else in Baltimore except for the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. Not to just go, but to win. You know, they're in first place in their division, and it's going to keep going. So we don't have any doubts about that. That's news to everybody except for us.
Well, they're definitely going to win the division. I don't see Pittsburgh really making any moves. The Browns are the Browns. Their biggest competition as far as the AFC North, and they've already been deemed winner of the AFC North by a lot of experts. And so now they're talking about they are a dangerous team. The defense looks good, especially with the addition of Roquan Smith. Mm-hmm. Lamar's looking good. There's some concern with the receivers. And they're really talking about Kenyon Drake may be that missing piece on offense that they need, right, as far as the running game goes. So you can watch Dobbins come back healthy pretty soon. And the Ravens are a team to be reckoned with in the future. So there you have it, Brother B.
I appreciate you as always, Petty.
And I appreciate you too, my brother. And to everyone, enjoy their Sunday. Love your show. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'm out of here, brother. Peace.
Take it easy, brother. Out. So there you have it from the Petty. And listen, we've gone over a little bit today, getting all that great information from the good Dr. Yolanda Lewis-Raglan. I really appreciate her being with me this Sunday and dropping all those amazing nuggets of information. We can certainly use them. I want to thank you for being with me today, as you are every Sunday, and giving me your hour. Please get at me on IG at On With Brian Pettaway and let me know what you think of the show. It always helps me. I say that every week. And before I go, like I always say every week, please wake up tomorrow morning and conquer the world. You can do nothing today, but the best part about doing nothing is what? You can quit whenever you want. I am out of here. Peace.